Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. How are you doing? How are you doing? Good. Okay. Today we'll be talking about DevOps. There is a lot of buzz on the street about DevOps. People talking about DevOps, NoOps, Ops. There are conferences. There's DevOps Borat. So what I'd like to do is to make sure that we are on the same page with respect to why are we even talking about DevOps? Why do I need to change? We need to make sure that we understand the reason why we have to change and what needs to be changed. And I will demonstrate the DevOps scenario on a platform on a demo that I prepared around Tailspin toy company. Most of you have seen a demo at Keynote by Jason Zander. I will continue on that thread. So I will use a very unsuccessful deployment scenario where my deployment will actually fail, but it will not inadvertently affect my company life site. So my goal is not to show you a product for a person. So DevOps is not a person. It's a collaborative process between multiple people involved in life site operations. So it's not going to be a particular product that address a DevOps scenario. It's going to be multiple products. I'm not going to show you the I'm not going to prescribe you formalized DevOps process. Your company processes are very unique, very customizable. Instead, I will show you a stack, Microsoft stack, number of Microsoft products that can be used to facilitate friction-free interaction between development and operations to guarantee that there is a consistent, reliable, and repeatable deployment, management, and support of your life sites. And for that, I will demonstrate how to use Orchestrator and Virtual Machine Manager features of System Center to do the application service deployment. I will show you how to do deep application insight monitoring using Operations Manager feature of System Center. And last, I'm going to show you how to use Team Foundation Server to do problem troubleshooting. So what is DevOps anyway? Do we really need it? Why do we need it? I'm pretty certain that you've seen this picture many times. And just for the record, I'm wondering how many people consider themselves a developer, which means that most of the time they're building new features of the app. Okay. And how many people would consider themselves IT pro, which means that most of the time they're responsible for lifesite operations? Okay, so I see like 70, 30, 60, 40 split, I believe. So there are a lot of friction points in this interaction. Okay? Typically, operations folks do not have clear instructions how to actually deploy the applications, or those instructions are on 140 pages. And it's not very well automated process. When something happens, it's very tricky to understand, to detect application failures, and collect meaningful information so you can troubleshoot that problem and create a fix. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate during this talk how to address all those friction points utilizing Microsoft Stack, utilizing System Center and Visual Studio products. This is the definition from Wikipedia. Essentially, DevOps is a set of processes that enforce, that enable collaboration between multiple parties involved. But the question is, why do we need it? What are the drivers to have a DevOps? Well, first and foremost is the agility and continuous delivery. when companies are deploying new products multiple times a day, like Flickr, 10 times a day in production, you have to be very agile. You have to think differently. There are companies, there are properties that I'm aware of that deploy new code on average once per hour in prod. When you're talking about that type of agility, you got to think differently. Moreover, monitoring has to be rethinked because your baseline gets invalidated every time when you deploy something. So all your monitoring thresholds have to be dynamic. You have to think how to make that happen, that transition clearly. Second, there is a very big push on consumerization, and there are a lot of B2C companies that clearly that have a culture of competition being a click away, which means that you have to monitor not only that your site is up, but also that your customers receive the best possible end user experience, which means that you can detect that your customers are getting some random errors or your performance goes below predefined thresholds. And that's not infra monitoring. It's not enough to monitor IIS, monitor firewall, monitor SQL backend separately. You need to provide monitoring end to end. And the last but not least is cost. And in this case, I'm not talking about the cost necessarily of running software, which is very important as well. I'm talking about development cost of developing new features. There is an interesting book, I'm pretty sure that you're familiar with, Lean Startup by Eric Ries, where he mentioned an example where he developed a multi-IAM software, and he spent about 6 months to develop it. Then in about a couple hours, he put up a page with a download button, put it on the internet. Nobody clicked on that download button. The point is, granted, there could be marketing issues, but the point is, he could save 6 months' worth of development if he would start with just this page with a download button. I'm exaggerating, but what is important is to be able to calculate the ROI of your investments into particular features, understand how end users are actually using your website, and provide iterative improvements on it. So if it's so good, if there are so many benefits out of DevOps, why aren't we there? There are a number of adoption barriers. First of all, there is a cultural change. Fundamentally, many organizations have dev manager and IT ops manager with separate budgets. When they consider a tool, they're not thinking about end-to-end scenario, how the result of one tool would be consumed by another tool. Okay? Developers usually don't carry pagers. They just assume that it's all operations fault. And yet operations always think that this is a bug in the application. So the goal of DevOps is to unite those silos. And that requires a cultural change. As a result, in order to unite those silos, you have to be able to share the knowledge, which means that artifact that's produced by development tooling should be natively consumed by operations tools, and vice versa. All the telemetry, all the root cause collected by operational tools should be consumed natively by development tooling. And that requires tight collaboration between both dev and ops, which means that I have to have a process. I cannot, yell across the hall, hey, I have a problem. Who is going to fix it? What I need to do, I need to, when problem occur, I need to forward it, escalate it directly to DRI, directly responsible individual. So that person could start working on it immediately. So that link has to be established somehow. Okay? And vice versa, if I'm a developer and I'm working on a particular problem and I need to get problem enrichment, I need to collect more data from production, there has to be a context that's shared between dev and ops, so I can collect meaningful information for my particular problem inside my particular work item, okay? And ops should understand that, hey, I'm working on that issue, and this is how I can get more information for that developer to fix the problem, troubleshoot the problem. And the last but not least is automation. Automation, automation, automation. I cannot stress enough the importance of automation. When we're talking about such agility, all human processes have to be automated. Everything has to be tracked. And that's what those are the barriers for DevOps adoption. Now, when we talk about what's needed, you basically, we're trying to show you the set of processes that you would need to implement in order to facilitate DevOps adoption. First of all, as I mentioned, you have to have automated deployment. And I'm not talking just, let's say I have a web deploy package, I have a web deploy endpoint, and I'm just deploying the web package. The deployment usually is way more complicated process. There is a fundamental difference between deployment orchestration and deployment artifacts. There are multiple deployment artifacts produced by different tools. You have web deploy, you have MSI, DACPAC, you have server appv, you have service template, you name it. There are a lot of deployment artifacts. But deployment orchestration stitches it all together, provides sequencing, guarantees the configuration of all those deployment artifacts. And that's what we need, and that's what I'll demonstrate to you. Now, monitoring. Monitoring is very important. And it's interesting that the goals of monitoring are somewhat different from development and operations, where developers are trying to prevent issues from happening. And if they could, they would attach AD+, they could attach debugger, collect the memory dump, and start understanding on the threads what's going on in a live site. Obviously, that's not happening. That's hard. And from operations standpoint, their job is to return site to normal operation. So if the solution is to reboot, they will reboot. So there's got to be a middle ground. And we need to come up with a reliable detection of those incidents. In many cases, I know about cases where the MTTR, mean time to repair, is 30 minutes. 5 minutes between occurrence and detection, 15 minutes from detection to the end of a troubleshooting, and 10 to develop a fix and release in production. 30 minutes end to end. 67% of all incidents fit within that 30-minute SLA. Now, that's the DevOps process. And that's what we need to enable. And then it goes into support. The support it's important that when I'm troubleshooting a problem, I have enough information so I can repro the issue. We need to collect that information and make tools available for ops to provide this data collection kind of for free. But it goes further. There is a cultural change where operations and developers should work side by side in order to implement monitoring config. For example, typically, file not found is a problem when your website doesn't have has a link to a page and that page is not there. You're getting 404. 404 is a problem. But there is a scenario where 404 is not a problem. In many web properties, when search crawlers remember an old link and keep hitting that link, you'll be getting 404. And in order to reduce the noise, developers and operations should work together, for example, to filter out those type of things. So basically saying that, hey, if I have a 404 errors and the user agent is a search bot, then ignore it. That requires very tight, very real-time interaction between devs and ops. Workload, availability, reliability, and performance. Those are incidents. I basically acronym the problems. The question was, what is WARP? WARP is workload, availability, reliability, and performance incidents. So that brings us to the tools. In order to implement those processes, you have to have a set of tools that will help you do that. And during my demo, I will be demonstrating Orchestrator and use it as automation engine. I will show you VMM that facilitates consistent fabric management and application deployment. Obviously, I'm going to use SQL Server backend. I'm going to use Operations Manager to provide deep application monitoring. And then I end everything inside TFS to show how to do problem management. But there is no magic. Under the cover, there are a number of artifacts that are going back and forth. And those systems can actually natively consume. So, for example, for orchestrations, I'm going to use runbooks and PowerShell scripts. For app, I'm going to use WebDeploy and DACPacks. For deployment verification, I'm going to use Visual Studio Web Test to validate that my deployment actually succeeded. I'm going to use Service Template to guarantee my consistency of my environments and applications configuration. I'm going to use management packs to provide monitoring, and I'm going to use IntelliTrace to standardize on application root cause data collection. With that said, I'm going to switch to my demo. And before I go into the demo scenario, I want to quickly explain the sorry, I pressed the wrong button. I quickly show the, okay, sorry about that. I will show you the demo environment. So I have a laptop with 16 gig of RAM where I'm running, that's my Hyper-V host, where I'm running four VMs. I'm running VMM on one of them. I'm running Ops Manager, Orchestrator, and TFS on my OM VM. I'm running all the dev tooling, like Visual Studio, on my dev VM. And this service, VM00001, is my service, instance of a service. Okay. So now, who we are. I'll be wearing multiple hats, and I work for Tailspin Toys Company. Why are we doing it? We believe that people should fly, and if you can't afford the real plane, we can sell you a model. Okay? We now go international, and I'm building a new site to sell planes across the globe. And as part of that new release, I know that my checkout is very important. So I, as a developer, I build, and I'm going to my dev machine, I build a web test that validates checkout process. And in this particular case, when I'm doing an order, I'm verifying that there is a credit, I'm verifying some content. So I'm checking that if the page contains a credit word in it. That's my indication that the page succeeded. So what I'm going to do is I already built this product, and I gave a green light to operations to release it. Now, as an operations, I'm going to use Orchestrator to release the product. And what you see in front of you is Runbook Designer, where I have my simple runbook. And this runbook will deploy a new service. And what I'm going to do, because it takes some time to deploy the service, around 5-6 minutes, I will run it. And while it's running, I will monitor the service using Orchestrator Console. orchestrator console is here. And wow. Hold on. Okay, anyway, it's working. And while it's working, I'm going to monitor the couple things. First of all, I'm expecting that I will get a new VMM service template in this directory, and I will get a new transaction. As a result of a transaction, web test transaction, I will get the transaction file. So while it's doing, what I can do is I can go to VMM and show you that I'm running right now in production template version 43. And if I go to library, I have 43 and templates 43 and 44. I tested it. And let me show you the application itself. Right now, it's very simplified, very simple applications. I have a single tier where I have essentially my web deploy package and my DAC pack. And this is how I could configure the deployment. So I essentially use service template to guarantee consistency of my infra, as well as guarantee consistency of my application deployments. Okay? So what's going on is right now, as you see, I just created a new template. And what will happen is I will try to apply it. And then I will try to run the web test, and the web test will fail. So if I go back, okay, you see right now I have this new web test that just got created. And I know that the deployment will fail, and what will happen is I will see the same applications running in production, the same version of a service template running, but at the same time, I will be able to collect the root cause and forward all that information to development. So here's what I'm doing. First, I'm taking a build. I'm backing up my SQL. Then I'm getting a new build from TFS. I'm creating a new service template based on that new build. I'm applying this new build to running instance. I'm executing a web test to validate that that build is working. And when that build is not working, I'm essentially taking a snapshot of the environment. I'm escalating that issue to operations. And I'm rolling back the whole environment. Okay? So it looks like it finished. And what I can do now as an ops, what happened is, I have this alert that just got changed. And again, I'm running in West Coast time, so it changed about, I don't know, a minute ago. Inside that alert, I got information about my problem. So this is, it looks like can't find tax rate for country UK. And I have links to my checkpoint, to my failed environment. So if I need to reproduce the problem, I can hydrate that failed environment for developers to repro. And also, I have a link to my web transaction file. So I can see how it failed. Okay? But more importantly, the same information is visible to developers. So now, as a developer of Tailspin toy company, I can go to my development environment. I can open up my operational issues. I can refresh it. I can see that, again, it's been changed about actually a minute ago. What I can do is I can go into this issue. And again, I see the same information. Can find country code, tax rate for your country UK, and I see the same properties. So that is very important. I was able to not only detect a problem, I was able to initiate self-healing, which means that I roll back the scenario back to normal. And my website is actually working right now. If I go to Service VM and let's say model airplanes, it's back to normal state, okay? And then I was able to collect root cause and notify both parties, developers and operations, and provide consistent information to both. Now,
before you switch back,
okay, sure.
Can you go back to where you had the add to your card, the checkout?
Mm-hmm.
Are those RESTful services, or am I misunderstanding the concept?
That's MVC-based application. And it's basically what I'm doing is I recorded my transaction interaction with that application, and that's it. I'm just executing HTTP requests.
I got it.
Okay?
Okay. I got it.
So what I'm going to do is just to summarize what you've seen. You've seen a deployment scenario where I was able to codify my process to deploy application. I was able to enforce consistency using service template, consistency not only for the infra but also for the application. And I was able to notify about error, about problems, both operations and development, and provide consistent view of these problems to both parties. And that is very important. And that's what you can do on Microsoft solution stack. Now, the next process is monitoring. And as I mentioned, the monitoring is very important and has to be very dynamic. But before we go into monitoring demo, I'd like to make sure that we are all on the same page as to what type of problems are we detecting. First of all, we're monitoring for availability problems, which means that I want to know when my site goes down. And typically, those type of problems you detect by synthetic transactions. And typically, there is a period of time. Let's say every 5 minutes you ping the website. There is a quiet period, which means that if every n transaction, every three transactions are failing, you would consider that yes, site is failing. So those rules could be very custom to your particular need. But that's essentially what active monitoring is all about. You also can monitor performance and reliability, where reliability is essentially whether my end user experiencing any random failures. It's not my website is down. It's just a particular person is failing because somebody, because of data inconsistency that affecting that particular person, not everybody, but just that person or that group of people, like your tenant. Your tenant is down, but overall, you're up. That's the reliability issue, the reliability aspect of monitoring. And then performance. You need to know when your website is running slow, and you need to be able to detect it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a demo of application monitoring that is available using Operations Manager. I'm not going to go deep into this demo because there is a talk, MGT302, on Thursday that goes really deep into application monitoring aspects. Instead, I will cover it high level so you understand what type of monitoring is available inside Operations Manager. So what you can do is, inside Operations Manager right now, there is a new feature that allow you to look at application management, at your application kind of from 360 view. What you see here is, this is my Tailspin toy applications, and what I can do, I can monitor for average response time, availability, reliability, and performance. And as you can see, all my indicators are green. You might ask the question, so if it was failing, why my indicators are green? And the reason is they're green is that typically, from operation standpoint, individual failures are not are inconsequential. In other words, I'm failing here, there, who cares? Operations folks care about SLA in terms of percentages of user affected. So if your 10% of users are down, that's when you care. And that's when you need to start immediate investigation. Where developers care about those failures, because they might be a precursor to a much bigger problem. And they might need to be able to collect the data, additional data, for those problems to start the troubleshooting. And this UI allows you, this product, rather, allows you to provide both, address both issues. First, it provides a operational view that allow you to see what's going on from the operation standpoint, as well as it collects deep root cause information for developers to address. Now, how to get to this, how to enable this, this monitoring? We're releasing a number of templates that allow you to do this type of monitoring. First of all, we have .NET application performance monitoring, where you can configure your deep application monitoring from the server perspective, which means that we are monitoring the servers themselves, as well as from client-side perspective. So this is a server side, as well as from client-side perspective. Now, server-side monitoring allows you to collect failures and performance degradation from the server code. And you can define the threshold, and every time, let's say, a particular request is slower than alerting threshold, we would collect the information about it. Where client-side monitoring allows you to monitor from the client perspective. And there's a big difference between synthetically generated load versus client-side monitoring here. What we're doing is, before IIS spit out HTML, we intercept that and we inject small JavaScript code that collects information from the browser. This enables you to see how your end users actually experiencing your website from the end user perspective. And we can monitor, DOM loading time, AJAX call time, your page loading time, and so forth. So we are essentially providing you a pretty comprehensive set of monitoring that allows you to do monitoring from your server perspective, from synthetically generated load, and from the real end user perspective. And the most important thing is you do not have to change your code in order to enable this. So your developers do not have to do anything special in order to collect this data, and in order to enable operations folks to be able to detect all those problems. So, now, support. It is very important to collect relevant information when problems occur. So typically, when the conversation between dev and ops, when there is a lack of clarity as to what needs to be collected, how it needs to be collected, I would call it a lot of finger-pointing and blame-storming kind of things. It's your server, no, it's your application. So we have to have a process that would eliminate it all, which means that at the time of the failure, we need to collect meaningful information that would really help operations folks to troubleshoot the issue. So now, let me go back to my application, and I'll show you how we would be able to address that. So what you see is my service, and I know that if I click on checkout, like this, it will fail, right? So this is the type of failure I'm talking about that we would be able to detect, okay? Now, as a dev guy, I received a work item, this work item, and as you see, I can open my log. Actually, I can open this one. Oops. And this is my log. that shows me exactly what happened. Okay? So this answers the question, what? I know that my checkout process is failing. That's good. But it doesn't give me an answer as to why. Why is it failing? And for that, what we have as part of my operational issues that I escalated to my developers, I used to have a number of links. And one of the links was a link to data collected by ops, by operational monitoring in this kind of format. We've done a lot of changes to our monitoring to actually merge IntelliTrace technology with operational technology. And now what we can do, as part of your monitoring, as part of your work item, we enable attaching IntelliTrace log file to the work item. Now, what you can do is you can double-click on this IntelliTrace log file, open it up, and see familiar IntelliTrace exception, and start the debugger and jump directly into the line of code and see for the error I basically commented the UK tax rate code. So what you see here is that we enabled a seamless link between operations and development, and we converted all operational artifacts into a format that can be easily consumed by developers' tooling. But we go further. In some cases, this IntelliTrace stack is not enough. Because if you look at it, it's essentially a single trace. This is a state of an application at the moment of the failure. What if it's not enough? What if, like developers have asserts? Asserts is something that should not be happening. What if they look at this problem and they say, you know what, that's not right. I don't believe that our application or customer could be in such a state. I want to see the full-blown log. I want to see how we ended up in that situation. We enabled that scenario. And what we did now, let's say I'm a developer, I'm trying to debug this problem, and this information is not enough. What I can do now, I can ask my operations folks to collect more information about this particular problem. So what I can do is, I can go back to my ops manager, and this is my problem, okay? This is my alert. What we did, we integrated full IntelliTrace data collection into Operations Manager, which means that now I can do the following. I can start IntelliTrace collection, and if the application would be running on multiple load balanced environment, you would be able to see this list of servers here. And you would be able to pick and choose which server you want to start IntelliTrace on. Okay? So we right now enabling IntelliTrace on that particular server. That essentially turn off operational monitoring and turns on IntelliTrace data collection. Currently, it requires a process recycle. So now my IntelliTrace is up and running in production. Now, what I can do is, since I know this is my checkout process, what I can do is I can go back to my site, and let's say I can walk through the checkout process. So I have model airplanes. It takes a little bit to resume the application, restart the application after recycle. But the point is, we would be able to essentially repro this scenario. So I'm going to check out, I'm going to review order, and I'm getting an error, right? So at this point, I don't need to collect anything else. From the operation standpoint, what I can do is I can, again, go back. I can collect IntelliTrace log file. In this case, we will be collecting the IntelliTrace log file. How many of you are familiar with IntelliTrace? Okay, wow, it's good. So quite a few. So basically what we're doing is that we are taking, IntelliTrace collects everything locally. And I'm expecting IntelliTrace log file to appear on this share. And what's happening is we can take the IntelliTrace collected locally, and we can either publish it on a network share, or we can use a Ops Manager plumbing to send that into TFS. Why we support both? First of all, in some cases, you have your agents, your servers running in DMZ, and there is no way that they can publish directly into network share. So in order to support the scenario where agents are running inside DMZ, we're using Ops Manager channel to send information through that channel back into TFS. Okay? And it takes time to collect IntelliTrace. And while it's doing it, I will stop IntelliTrace because there's no point to run IntelliTrace anymore in production. Okay? And by stopping IntelliTrace, I'm reverting back into operational monitoring. Okay? So while it's collecting, okay, I believe it's done. Okay, here it is. In order to save time on the demo, so that IntelliTrace will be attached to the same work item here. But sometimes it takes time to actually get the full round trip working. So what I'm going to do instead, I'm going to open up this IntelliTrace from here, from an issue that we had collected previously. And what you will see is essentially what you would expect to see, the full IntelliTrace stack. And then what I'd be able to do is, this is my exception, I'd be able to run the debugger, and I'd be able to see all the locals. This is my country, UK. So I'd be able to essentially have a complete, full IntelliTrace experience. And here's an example that we enable essentially a communications between dev and ops that share the same context, right? As a dev, I'm basically asking to enrich particular alert with more information. And as an ops, I can select the alert and I can say, I want to collect more information for this problem, for this alert. We automatically know which what needs to be done. Let's say which servers needs to be turned on with IntelliTrace data collection, and then we automatically send that data collection back into development. Here's the question. Mm-hmm. Currently we officially not supporting clients, the licensing-wise. Okay, so we will support monitoring for all your servers, but not the client side, not the WPF, not the desktop client side. Okay, it's a licensing limitation, if you will. So what I was able to show you essentially end-to-end scenario, troubleshooting scenario, where first, as a dev, I was able to see how it's failing using web test results, right? Then I was able to look into a IntelliTrace, single trace IntelliTrace, and in some cases I'd be able to address the issue, in some cases I would not be able to address the issue. But what we also enabled, we enabled ability to turn on additional monitoring, diagnostic monitoring, and we integrated the IntelliTrace into the life cycle. So operations would know how to do that. And that information would flow back to developers natively. So just to summarize this demos, I believe DevOps is coming. You can run, but you can't hide. So we need to be ready to embrace the DevOps. Second, I believe that it's a transformational change, and we have to change something in our processes, in our organizations, to embrace the DevOps movement. And third, we provide, Microsoft provide solution stack that significantly simplify the DevOps enablement, that provides consistent, reliable, and repeatable way to do deployment, management, and support. Okay? So if you have any questions, sure. That's a good question. So the question is, where management packs supposed to come from? The way we currently implemented it, we have number of wizards that would allow operations personnel to essentially enable the environment for monitoring. And then what will happen is, as you start collecting more data, there has to be collaboration between development and operations to fine-tune that monitoring. That's number one. Number two, the management packs eventually will be a result of development tooling. For example, right now, if you will, we are taking web tests, and we natively consuming web tests, as you've seen at Keynote, by operations manager infra to do the tip test in production. What we down the road, we will be consuming more and more knowledge coming from operations from, let's say, web test results. And automatically converting into management packs. But for now, what you will do is, for very specific, well-known failure modes, you as a developer would be creating a management pack, which means that if I know that I'm asking for a, I'm trying to call a clearinghouse, and if clearinghouse is not responding, and I know how to properly handle that situation and provide a meaningful information, error information to operations, then you most likely will handle it. However, for situations that you are not anticipating, for all unknown, I would say, problems, out-of-the-box monitoring would cover you. So if you start failing, for example, due to data inconsistency, this default kind of base monitoring would address that, where you would be focusing on very specific failure modes that you're aware upfront.
Is that
Tailspin? Would that be available? It's on this machine. But yeah, we can probably offline talk and enable the content. Well, so the question is, which Microsoft properties, I would say, services utilizing DevOps approach? I would say the big properties like Bing, MSNBC, MSN. In our division, MSD, Management Services Division, we are using DevOps for our services. I believe, again, the DevOps is something that you will have to do as soon as you are running live sites, live services, and those services require change. That's something that you can't avoid.
I might zone out for a second. Does this come bundled with a certain package? Do you have to buy it separately?
It's okay. This is what I showed you, is all comes as part of System Center.
Okay.
So if you have System Center as say, you'll have all of this. So I showed you System Center Orchestrator, where I have my runbooks that allow you to codify your process, very custom deployment process. I showed you VMM, where you can define your service template that allow you to define your environment as well as configuration for your applications. I showed you Operations Manager that allow you to essentially provide deep monitoring, and I utilize a number of templates from Ops Manager that are bundled into the Ops Manager. And then I showed you integration with Team Foundation Server from Visual Studio, where now, using TFS Sync, you can forward all operational alerts into TFS as operational issues. And then I demonstrated how we converted operational data into IntelliTrace so developers can utilize their familiar plumbing, familiar tooling, to view operational data. Okay, yeah? So the question is it agentless or agent? It's an agent-based technology, which means that we're doing bytecode instrumentation. Okay? So the agent has to be installed. SCOM agent has to be installed on a server that does hosts the application. Yeah? Uh-huh. No, those clients do not. The question is, what about the client side? I mentioned that there will be a client-side monitoring. We enable client-side monitoring. And the way we enable client-side monitoring is through essentially JavaScript injection into the code. So imagine our agent sitting on the IIS box. So you have a ASP.NET pipeline. That pipeline has a stream with your HTML. Just before that stream gets flushed gets sent into a client, we intercept that, we analyze HTML and putting essentially JavaScript into HTML. Then when client downloads the page, that HTML gets executed, and we are collecting like various performance characteristics about the page. Load time, average execution, Ajax calls, asynchronous, both asynchronous, and so forth. So we don't, as a client, I don't have to have anything. It's very transparent to me. Okay? Excuse me? I don't hear. Could you? Oh, the question is, if client doesn't use HTTP, this client-side monitoring is for web-enabled, for browser-based application. And there was a question before about the WPF clients, the desktop, WinForm clients. Currently, we do not support desktop clients. Okay, we will support the back-end tier. We'll be able to see all the interaction that those clients perform. But we do not support the clients themselves. Okay? So any other questions? Oh, this is the question is how to enable IntelliTrace on the server. This is how you would enable IntelliTrace, literally. With and that's functionality that is part of SP1, 2012 SP1, that we're shipping later this year. And as part of that functionality, you essentially don't have to worry about IntelliTrace being distributed. We will take care of all of it. We'll take care of distribution and attaching and reattaching. Yes? Yeah. Yeah, right. The question is, you notice that this file was 23 meg. So if I go to my operational issue, the file that we've collected was essentially 23 meg file. Right? So that's correct. First of all, I use a particular plan, collection plan. So we will enable ability for you to tweak the collection plan, and that goes back to how developers are participating in this end-to-end life cycle. That's number one. Number two, as you noticed, what we enable you to start and stop monitoring, and there is ability to limit the file size that we'll implement in a RTM product. So any, yeah?
Can we use that system for a zero-based?
So the question is, can we use this scenario for Azure-based services? Currently, we're not officially supporting Azure monitoring. However, this is definitely on the roadmap, and we are planning to enable Azure-based monitoring and integration into end-to-end DevOps lifecycle. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that you will visit additional sessions that go deeper into some of the aspects that some of the tools that I demonstrated. First of all, you can attend MGT 314 to look at what's new in VMM. You can go to MGT 302 to look to where we go specifically. We'll be talking specifically about application monitoring, and I recommend you that. And then MGT 325, where we will be talking about Opalis and about runbooks and about Orchestrator in general. Okay? If you have any specific questions, feel free to talk to me offline, or you have any more questions? No? Okay. So, thank you.